org.
Greetings, this is Stephen Merritt, and I am apparently on WGXC Accra, which I think of as WGXC Hudson, but I don't know. I've never been to Accra.
Wave Farms WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have one you don't need and it's a Macintosh 2019 or newer, please email info@wgxc.org for more information. And thank you for your contribution.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Stretch Metal, a nonprofit resource network, label, and concert series promoting emerging artists in the ever-evolving landscape of abstract sound. On October 25th at Assembly in Kingston, Stretch Metal presents Drone Sleepover, a dusk-to-dawn ambient music sleep concert. Information and tickets available at stretchmetal.org/DS2025.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Hat Merlino of Los Angeles, California. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You, too, can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Rob Lumberg here of Uncontaminated Sound. Today's guest, I have the honor and pleasure to have Kurt Kaiser of Cincinnati-based Carriers. It's an amazing project, a musical project based out in Cincinnati. And welcome to the show, Kurt.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me, Rob.
You're very welcome. A little background. I first was introduced to Kurt in 2023 at the Nationals homecoming in Cincinnati, and it was just a treat and a pleasure to meet him in person and take a few snaps backstage. So here we are in 2025. So what's new, Kurt? What's new?
The record just came out a few months ago. Vinyl, I think, should be here this week, so that'll be exciting just to get it up, get it to stores all over the country, and waiting to hear about some tours. Currently working on some new music, kind of next albums, and then also did some cool kind of performances.
Recording in progress.
Oh.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Did some live performances, kind of video session things of some of the songs from this new album, and going to share those soon. So I'm excited about that.
Nice. I guess we're based in New York here in the Catskill, Accra, and the Hudson region, which is a few hours north of New York City. Very creative region and artists and musicians. So if people here haven't heard of you, can you kind of just give a little spiel about your projects, your sounds, what you're about musically and sonically wise?
Yeah,
please.
Yeah, Carriers has been a band, I guess, for about 10 years now. I put my first record out in 2019 on a Brooklyn label called Good Eye Records. And then fast forward kind of a couple years later, kind of post-pandemic when things were kind of moving again, the National... Brian from that band has been a friend for a long time, and they used this song of mine called Be the One as their walk-on music in Paris and Spain on their first tour back after the pandemic. And then their label Brassland reached out to me and asked if I wanted to put out a record. And so that just came out a couple months ago, and this is my second album, and worked on it, recorded it all here in Cincinnati, pretty much my own, and then did some collaboration with Brian from the National played drums, and then Dave from War on Drugs played some bass, and then Ben Lands, who I think you've had on your show here too. Ben is awesome, and he used to be in Beirut and plays with the National and plays with Bryce and plays with everybody. But he played some horns on my album, and so this was a nice first release with Brassland, and the New York connection kind of remains, and I've always wanted to come upstate. I have a lot of friends that work on music up there and live there, and so hopefully I can come there soon.
Of course. No, I would love to also show you around the region myself sometime. And speaking of Ben Lance too, I remember in Homecoming in 2023, it was a kind of cool experience hanging with him in the crowd and watching Pavement perform. You know, that was such a cool experience. And I still can't believe it's been almost about 2 years. So exactly.
Was it 2023 when that fest was?
Yeah. Around September, October, right? September, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. That was such a fun fest to play. Ben was going to be playing horns with me, him and Chris. And then I think Aaron kind of got there to the fest late, and then they had to go rehearse right away. And so Brian and Ben, they didn't end up playing with me, but that was such a cool festival. And yeah, watching Pavement, watching the Walkmen, watching Patti Smith.
Yeah. Was that your first, big, festival like that playing with such acts at least like that? Like,
I've done it a handful of times. Yeah. But it was cool to be a part of the Nationals Fest for sure.
Yeah.
I've been doing music for a really long time, and Carriers like 10 years. And then I was in a band called Pomegranates before that. And Pomegranates did a lot. We did a lot of touring and played a few fests, and then I've gotten to do some cool festivals as well. Played this one in St. Louis that was really cool called Evolution Fest. And it was so wild. We went on at like 5, and then it was just two stages, just back and forth. And then like Ice Cube went on, and then the Nude Party went on, and then Ben Harper and then Brandi Carlile. It was like this beautiful night of music, and we played on that day too there. But like, yeah, that was cool. Like Brittany Howard played that fest.
Cool.
And
oh yeah, that's awesome.
And like, so that was a fun one. And played a festival called Bellwether one time. That was really cool. I was with like Whitney and like Echo and the Bunnymen, and I think Japanese Breakfast, and Alalaz. That was cool. And yeah, just random stuff through the years, from small festivals, like kind of local stuff and or just small stuff in other cities, and then some big stuff too.
Very cool. Very cool. I always like to kind of wrap back to the your kind of, I guess, origin journey. So how'd you get into music in the first place? I know it's been 20 plus years already, right? Or about?
Yeah. It's actually funny. I was just, one of our first bands when we were like 14 or so, we were called The Secondary. It was me and my two friends, Ben and Drew, and this kid Patrick, actually. We just found these demos, or not demos, I guess it's like rough tracks from like some of our first recordings. And so funny, we were texting about it this morning, because someone, my bassist now, actually, so he sent me a photo of his iPod, which had these four songs on it. And I was like, what? I just found this the other night too. And they're like 20 years old. and it was so fun to listen back to those. But yeah, I grew up playing music, and with my dad and my best friends, we played at like our church, and then played for the school worship band. and kind of just from there, yeah, so my dad taught me some cowboy chords, and then my buddies and I would just write kind of indie rock stuff. And then from there, I guess that band became In Lieu, and we got signed to like a cool little label called Luja Records out of Palo Alto, California. And then that band broke up. I joined Pomegranates, and then Palms ended, and then I started Carriers. And yeah, I guess it's going on 11 years now.
Wow.
And music's just, you know, when the first time I played guitar was just at like a little talent show for our music class or something like that. And my dad, you know, I think it was seventh grade, and my dad helped me buy a cheap acoustic guitar that I could use and learn on. And now I'm like 15 guitars later, still got all of them. They're all still cheap.
Yeah.
but I, yeah, just been doing that. Just been making music, I'm recording music on my own for a long time. But this new album that just came out was the first time really releasing like recordings of my own, which was cool that Brassland wanted to do that.
And the title of the album is Every Time I Feel Afraid. Is that correct?
Yeah. Every Time I Feel Afraid. Yeah.
Via Brassland. How did you connect with Alec?
Well, that was kind of what I was saying through.
Yeah.
It was just through the National using the song Be the One as their walk-on music. And that song was just an old kind of song, like the demo I wrote for my partner that I had no plans to release. Brian heard it and they used it to do that. And then, yeah, Alec reached out and he was just like, what is this song? Do you have more? So I just sent him some other recordings, and he right away was just kind of like, these five, you know, it'll be an EP. And I was like, cool. And then, I went and met Alec in New York. I think when I was just there with my partner, just hanging out with her sister in town, met Alec there. And then I did a few shows in New York the next time I went. It was fun. I did like a house show, and then I did a show at, the World Trade Center. It was, I can't remember what it was called. It was like in this like lounge. That was wild. And then I played a show at a place called Cassette. It was called Sundown. Now it's called Cassette. But it was like three shows in New York, and got to spend a good bit of time with Alec, kind of finalize all the stuff for the record as far as all like the, you know, paperwork and stuff. But, yeah, really, really grateful to Alec and Brassland and for taking me on. And then he re-released the new album as well. So that's being repressed the first album is being repressed on vinyl as well as this new one. So that, yeah, I think, yeah, just very, very grateful for his help with it all.
I think on that note, before we continue discussion, I have lots of questions on process and why you've continued this journey, but I think it would be a great time to play a track. I'm thinking Blurry Eyes from the new album, Every Time I Feel Afraid.
Cool.
Blurry eyes, blurry eyes, blurry eyes, can you tell me why? Can I hug someone no smile?
That was Blurry Eyes by Carriers on Every Time I Feel Afraid, the new album produced by Brassland. Welcome back to Uncontaminated Sound. A little programmer's. A little programmer note. For our local listeners, there is a another Breaking the Algorithm IRL with Mike Amari in conversation with Matthew O'Neill. And a DJ set by Yeshi upstairs at the Avalon Lounge at October 23rd at 7 p.m. And entry is by donation. Thank you. And now back to the conversation with Kurt. Hey, Kurt. Welcome back.
Hey.
So can you just talk a bit about... I guess that track, Blurry Eyes.
Yeah.
And also just your process, too, in approaching this new album, and if there was any differences regarding your process and evolution from earlier stuff.
Yeah, I'd say the biggest evolution was, like I said, how I put this out. Excuse me. These were my recordings that I really didn't think would be the ones that would be heard. You know, these were, I have a lot of friends that are like, stop calling your songs demos, because they're the recordings, like they're the songs. And I think definitely on this album that's kind of what happened, is these were all my demos. So I didn't really you know, I think there was just a magic that was kind of captured, you know. I basically took it from voice memo to just tracking it. This song specifically, Blurry Eyes, I shared this little practice space with John Curley from Afghan Wigs, who we worked on my whole first album together. And it was just kind of in his little space, but I had like my little computer and simple little interface and like two working mics or something. And I just kind of, I recorded this there, and I used his piano, which ends up being a lot of that reverse stuff and some of the more of the melody in that song. And yeah, I think it was just, I knew this was a pretty cool song right away. I think it was a really important one to me for sure. I wrote it, like, it was the first song I wrote during the pandemic. Mm. And just kind of thinking about what's life going to be like once things are back to normal, and will I have, you know, appreciated the time? You know, it's like it was a really messed up, sad, kind of scary, uncertain time. But there was something beautiful about the way that, you know, the world just stopped and kind of got to refocus on what mattered in life. And so that's kind of like the lyrical content and stuff is about, like, trying to trust everything's going to be all right. But then on a musical standpoint, this is one that Brian Devendorf, right away he knew he wanted to play drums on this. Mm-hmm. And I remember I got to his house to track, you know, like a year and a half after I wrote it, and he had learned the entire Logic drum part, and he wanted to play exactly how it was. I was like, you don't have to do that. He just kind of did it. And it was awesome though. And we did a few passes. I think like him and I tried it, and then his wife kind of manned the control board one day after I left, and those recordings were pretty cool. And then we tracked it again with our buddy Chad, and I think it was some kind of combination of all that. And really the glue that put this together, well, one, Dave Hartley, War on Drugs, this was the first one. He had a bass and he had vocals, and he has a band called Nightlands. And that right off the bat, you hear that like blurry eyes, they kind of start that song. Mm. And that's me and Dave singing, and all of the Nightland stuff. He does this beautiful kind of electronic, almost like vocoder, I don't know, just cool, like almost like Mellotron, but on his vocals kind of sound. And, he helped take that to another place. And then Peter Cadis, who mixed it, this was the one song that he mixed. And, you know, he's done a lot of work with the National and Interpol and you know, everybody. And this was, it was so cool. Brian was like, Peter, my, you know, I think he told him a while back that I wanted to work with him. And then at a show of theirs in Connecticut, I think Peter asked him, like, don't you have a buddy in Cincinnati that wants me to mix something? And so we sent him this one. This was like the one we went with. And he just knows how to mix Brian's drums in such a cool way. And he's just, Brian calls him the meat and potatoes guy. He just like, he knows how to like, just handle the rhythm section really well. And just, yeah, it just really made that track shine. You know, I think he took my mix of kind of where it was at and just like brought so much clarity to it. It was awesome.
Is that, there's horns on that too, if I'm incorrect. Or
and Ben Lands. Yep. Yeah, and Ben Lands. Yeah. This was the first one. So he played, excuse me, horns on three of the songs. And this is one, at first in the mix, Ben's horns were like pretty loud, the first thing Peter sent back. And I have never had horns on my album before. And I was like, it's a little like it was a little loud. I was like, can we pull it down just a little bit? Let me ease my way into having horns on my album, which is so silly. It's just like, it's just cause I come from, you know, like in high school, it was like, people were like, when I thought of horns, I thought of like ska music or something, you know, it's like, but then obviously so much music has incredible, beautiful trombone and horns and him and Dave Nelson both added horns to this album. And Dave's another upstate New York guy, just moved to Nashville, but he was upstate for a long time.
Yeah.
And he added horns to the album too. I think he played on the Sharon Van Etten tune that I covered. And then he did stuff on the song Sometimes. Did a lot on that one.
Well, I've gotten so... I've grown an affinity for your horns, getting to know Ben and Kyle.
And Kyle, so beautiful. Yeah.
And just, like, I can't imagine... Yeah, I hear songs without horns. I'm like, I miss horns, you know? You know,
you like, miss them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Once your ear picks up on a horn and the depth it adds to a track. I don't know. It's like, now I need horns.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had this guy, Lee Sullivan. He's yeah. great. He plays sax and plays keys and stuff. And he did a little tour with me kind of when the album came out, and he'll do what he can, but he's in high demand here in Cincinnati. But when you have the horns, then when you don't, it's like, it's a different, it just like changes. I have to kind of accept that it's going to sound different before I ever had horns, I never really could imagine it on my music in some way, just cause you have to kind of hear it first to be like, oh, that's it. And now I'm like, I think about horns in a different way. I'm like, oh, I want those here when I'm working on a new song, or I'm like, oh, this would be great if it had some like really drony kind of like trombone or baritone sax or, you know, yeah, those guys are so good at what they do. And Kyle too. But Ben and Dave, working with them has been, a blessing for sure.
Now, how did you, I guess, with everybody kind of, well, I know Ben's, away from since Ohio, did he come in to record with you, or was it recorded separately?
No, he did this, I guess, when he was in Paris, is where he lives. So I think, yeah, a lot of it was all just remote.
Yeah.
One, during the pandemic, we couldn't do anything, and two, it was just logistically, just worked great. And he got stuff over to me pretty quick. He did stuff on Motion. He did a lot of horns on it. So I had to like pick and choose like which parts. We kind of did a blend of them, like on Motion. I think there was like 12 tracks or something of just horns, and it was awesome. And so Motion and Blurry Eyes. And then I feel like there was one more song. Kristen, is there one more song that was horns on? Was it just Motion and Blurry Eyes? I can't remember. I'm asking my partner. I'm like, shit, shoot. I think it was just on those two right now. I need to look at the credits to remember.
You said Blurry Eyes and what was that again?
In Blurry Eyes and Motion.
Okay.
Those two for sure.
Yes.
Had horns.
Interesting. Well, speaking of the pandemic and like, you know, the major toll it's taken on, like as hit musicians, artists, everybody in general. At that time, did you feel like your future would be up in the air regarding creating music, or like what was your kind of feelings in that scenario? Like, I know everybody was up in the air, like what do we do, how do we get our stuff out, or how do we continue creating? So
yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a lot of tour stuff kind of lined up with my agent at that time, and had my album. So my first album had just come out, and I guess, was it August of 2019? And it was cool because I won Album of the Year in Cincinnati at the Cincinnati Entertainment Awards, and had played some cool shows. And then I had some tour stuff booked and was going to do South By, and there was some exciting stuff kind of happening. And, actually, the first show on March 13th, 2020, when the world kind of shut down, I was supposed to open for a band called Camp. Mm. It was a sold out show. And that was the first one where it really hit me, where I was like, oh, I can't play this show. And I had another show with this girl, Anna Birch, a few days or that same weekend, I think, or something. And, yeah, just it all kind of right away, obviously the performing stopped. And then I think it was, I would definitely was worried. I was like, I don't know. I was like, this was finally like a lot was happening. And then it all kind of came to a halt. But cool thing is I put out a song called Without You, during the pandemic. And I think that gave me, and it got like, you know, had a nice little premiere and was used on like a TV show or something like that. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, and that was the first time I released something of my own recordings. And then right away, I think Dave Hartley from War on Drugs, he reached out and he was like, hey, do you have anything like any demos or anything you're working on? You want me to add some bass to? And I was like, oh, sure. Here's a song I wrote called Blurry Eyes last week, and here's one called Motion, and then I think within like a week or so he sent me his parts for it, and I was like, cool, if I ever release this, it sounds awesome, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, no plans really. But in that way it kind of it afforded everyone kind of a different amount of time that they wouldn't normally have. And definitely as musicians in their tour schedule or recording schedule, I think a lot of people realize, oh, like doing remote recording, it can be pretty feasible with, you know, just everyone has a decent little, you know, even a little in-home studio setup or a nice studio, whatever. I think a lot of collaboration happened during the pandemic, probably with a lot of artists. So that was one good thing. And then, you know, doing the little live stream shows was a cool way to stay connected with your friends and stuff. It was hard, and it was like every day there was another show, and just like it is with going to any show, you know, it's like, okay, I don't want to bog down the thing. Like, I've done enough. I did like five or something throughout the pandemic, and I was cool. I want to play, I want to be on, you know, I want to be in front of people again. And, but yeah, so I think it just, you know, it was really sad, scary, time of a lot of uncertainty. But if it didn't happen, I don't know if this album would have happened the way that it did for sure. I had another album actually that was gonna
interesting
be coming that I went to go to Colorado to record in like 2021. That I thought that would be the next album I released, and instead it was this one of these old demos of mine that I'm that became, you know, really, really beautiful, full songs that I'm glad.
Oh, thank you for that. What was your first show back post pandemic, I guess? And how was energy like in front of a live audience?
I think my first show back was at this brewery.
Yeah.
Called Fretboard Brewing. It was in Blue Ash, which is about 20 minutes from where I live here in Northside in Cincinnati. And it was a ton of people. It was awesome. It was like a pretty big brewery show. I think that was one of the first ones kind of where it felt like, oh, cool. Like not every venue is doing shows right now, but they felt all right to do it. And probably a lot of people were masked. And I think that one, it was exciting. It felt, you know, it was just good to be on stage again. And I did a lot of random solo stuff probably too, but that was like the first like full band show back.
Cool. Now with Carriers, do you perform with, I assume you have when you go say on mini tours or in live sessions, do you perform with a group of bandmates, I guess?
Yeah. So it depends on the tour. You know, for this, I just did some shows with the band Phosphorescent. I love his music. We did a couple shows with them. And I had I had a 5-piece for that with a guy kind of filling in on keys that hadn't really played with me much before. And then when I went out with Band of Horses, I had a pretty solid 5-piece, but instead of keys, I had an extra guitarist doing some cool kind of ambient stuff, kind of filling the place of keys. And Fruit Bats, kind of the same thing. I like five to really do it well on the road. I like having 5 people.
Yeah.
But we'll do tours as 4 people as well. And it sounds pretty good. And I'll use my sampler to kind of fill some of that space that the keys and I guess kind of horns would too at times, but yeah, so I've had a lot of different people play with me through the years. I had like a solid crew for a long time and then people moved away. My drummer Alex moved to Michigan. And so have a new person playing with me now. This guy, Charles, he's great. And I had my buddy Jake play with me for a while before that. And you know, it just kind of depends on the tour. But then I have my main crew, my buddy Corey Pavlinek. He's got a great project called Zoo. And he's just been my guitarist for like 10 years. And we really love working on stuff together. And then he's the only one from the start of it. And then my friend David Roller, the guy who sent me the old the picture of his iPod from 2005 or something. he's playing bass with me now. So it's kind of a fun, kind of long time music family kind of band right now. And that feels pretty special.
Very cool. Very cool. Another question I had, being from the Northeast myself, why haven't you, why didn't you break away from the Cincinnati region and Ohio in general and try New York or LA or, you know, the coast? Or like, can you sell us on why Cincinnati is a great cultural hub to stay in, I guess? Or why it's a great influence on your work too?
Yeah, Cincinnati is great. You know, like one, it's a lot more affordable than those places. You know, a lot of people do leave here and go try out, you know, New York or LA or Portland or, you know, Chicago. You know, a lot of people move to Chicago from here. That's kind of the first big city, kind of closest. But yeah, I mean, I love visiting those places. Like I love the West Coast. I love the East Coast. But Cincinnati is just a great place to come home to. The music scene here is really cool. You know, people want to support you. Not as much competition, you know. Mm. There is in ways of like you know, certain shows, like I'm sure like multiple people would want to be on that show, you know, if you know, big bands coming through or something to hop on a show at Motor or Woodward. But I've been doing it for a long time. So I've had a lot of those cool opportunities and now I'm in kind of this, yeah, kind of a different transition phase as far as my management and label. They don't want me playing many shows in Cincinnati. That way it just kind of can be really special kind of events when I do. But yeah, Cincinnati, man, there's just so much. There's a good community here. We live in Northside.
Hmm.
It's a little artist community. We have our coffee shop, Collective Espresso, we go to every couple of days. Thanks, Collective. Which is funny, too, because that coffee shop is ran by these two dudes, Dustin and Dave, who they booked our band in high school at a place called Molly Malone's, this, like, Irish bar across the river in Covington. And then, like, a few years later, hey, we're starting this coffee shop, and it's like, one of the best coffee shops in Cincinnati and been around since, I guess, 2012 or so now. So I know it's just Cincinnati. I just know so many people through music. And then I serve tables here at restaurants and I run into people, you know, every few days that are fans or just that I've known for a long time and are people that have become fans since this new album, you know, a lot. I got City Beat. They've been really supportive and did like a cover story. It's like our kind of local paper and just had, yeah, I think just having like wider kind of radio play on, you know, KXP and KCRW and WXPN and WGXC helped kind of, you know, I think I'm appreciated in a lot of those other cities that you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And maybe at one point we might move, but not to like go and make it big in another city or something. You know, I decided I'm 35 now. I decided 10 years ago not to go that route, but my partner, her whole family is from New Zealand. Oh, and, wow. So we have kind of and her sister lives out in LA and just me, her and her mom are here in Cincinnati. And so we've talked about maybe moving there at some point, either to LA or to New Zealand, you know, if we could ever afford something like that. But other than that, yeah, since he's, you know, my whole family is here, my sister and brother-in-law, my nieces and nephews, they live about 15 minutes away. My parents about 40 minutes away. But yeah, there's a lot of good shops and restaurants and good music scene. And it's home, you know, just been home for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you, performed overseas, or have you did a little overseas tour yet? Or
no, I think I will. Hopefully this coming year. There's been a lot of like talks about things and different opportunities and you know, biggest thing is just kind of like financially making sure it like makes sense, you know. Just jack up my credit card to go do it, but ideally it would be on like a good tour, like support slot. And I think that's kind of like, there's some bands there that have asked, they want to do something together and my label and management are kind of working on that.
Cool. I think it's, I want to play another track
yeah, like
5 minutes for Motion. I think, right.
Is that the one you want? Yeah.
Or what else would you suggest? I think we have time for Motion.
I was thinking that, or Sometimes is a
oh yeah,
that's one that's gotten a lot of love, and I think kind of fits, you know, it's kind of my dreamy folk song, you know, kind of fits the, and I did it with Dave Nelson in the Catskill.
Cool.
But you choose. It's your show. You know, you could be.
Well, Kurt, I think we'll break from conversation for a sec and play Sometimes.
Sometimes I get to thinking about this life, where I've ended up and was it right? Was it you when I called out into the night? Was it you standing beside when we had that talk I nearly lost my way? You showed me you were here and gonna stay. No matter where I choose to lay, I was freaking out.
Awesome. Welcome back, Kurt. Yeah, that was an amazing track as well.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
it's a special one.
Yeah, can you briefly talk about it? I mean, we're at almost at the end of the hour, so I would love to kind of just do like a little wrap up and spiel where people can find your stuff and go listen to it, and if anything Are you doing anything on the East Coast anytime soon, or what's up with that, all the promotional stuff? Yeah,
hopefully soon. Just waiting to find out about a couple tours. Can't really mention yet, but hopefully this one comes through. That would definitely bring me to New York. But yeah, I think that last song though, Sometimes, yeah, that was one. It wasn't gonna be on the album actually, and my partner, she told me to ask the label if we can ask Brassline if we can make it a full length record, and I showed him that song and he really loved it, and then I asked Dave Nelson, who, you know, he's played with the National and played with Mumford and Sons and David Byrne and St. Vincent, and that Brian Devendorf introduced me to him, and he reached out several months before, and he asked, he's like, hey, do you have anything you want to work on together? And so when it came to, I was like, well, I have this song, you know, when I reached out to him, I was like, something came up. I have a song. I need to have it done in like 2 weeks, like mixed and mastered, but I need to replace the Logic drums with like real drums. And then, when we use this thing called Audio Movers, which is awesome, to like, it basically, you can, you know, there's like zero latency, kind of, you connect like on sort of like Zoom, but it's through each other's DAW. And so I can like be, we can be there kind of mixing a song together, but like cool. Remotely, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And we did that with Sometimes, and and he just helped. He's kind of like doubled up some of the synth parts I already had, and kind of like highlighted some of the slide stuff I was doing, and his drums just like made it shine. It was really cool. But yeah, so that song, that's the one that first, KCRW made it their song of the day, and when it came out, and then World Cafe put it on there, and so that one's been heard a lot, I think a lot on the radio, and it's been a really special one that didn't expect to even release it at all, so I'm really glad I did.
Very cool, and thank you for sharing. I mean, it's great to share it with Hudson Valley region or
Catskill, yeah,
in the Hudson region. Yeah,
yeah. But you're asking, yeah, as far as keeping up with Carriers, you know, you follow along at Carriers the band on social media, on Instagram, I don't really do much on Facebook, but it's on there. or just carrierstheband.com. It's my website. Everything on there. Bandcamp, everything's on there. You listen on Apple Music or, you know, all the streaming. And the vinyl will be out soon. So hopefully it'll be at your local record store. Shake It Records here in Cincinnati.
Cool.
Them and Brassland, kind of distributing this together. And so it's going out to all the record stores that are connected with Shake It, which is cool. And the last thing they did together was Cherry Tree by the National. And so 20 years later, I guess we're doing this. And the vinyl's taken a while. It's been delayed a lot, but it is on its way. We're very eager for it.
I'm finding like, you know, people loving vinyl again, or if they,
you know, oh yeah, it's just the best way to listen.
Yeah. I'll have to pick up a vinyl myself, because I could imagine, or just listening to particularly blurry eyes too on vinyl would be really cool experience.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like to wrap up regarding our conversation and the journey regarding your musical career, and has it been worth any, and I could imagine some struggles, as you know, any creative path would incur, but has it been worth it up to this point?
It's the thing, it's the thing I do, and you know, I'm good at, and I love, and It's, you know, I write songs all the time. It's my therapy. It's it's kind of what gets me through. It's how I make sense of the world and my own kind of place in it. And, every single thing that's happened in my adult life has pretty much been connected to my music. And, like Carriers for the last 11 years and then the other bands as in before that. And I still have those relationships, you know, some from high school and some from right after. And, I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, a lot of friends just kind of got jobs and got, have a nice house and stuff now. And I'm still working at restaurants and driving a minivan and doing what most musicians do for a long time. And I love it.
Yeah.
And my partner is really supportive and, we met kind of through my music and a lot of this whole album that just came out was kind of dedicated to her and our journey. And so, yeah, I want to trade any of it.
That's lovely. And to build off that, for any younger aspiring musicians or creatives, any key advice you've picked up along the way, or anybody's pursuing this higher vision of a creative pursuit?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just like record voice memos of your song. You know, it doesn't have to be too precious. Just like get it down. You know, just like keep it fun and find a community that you can, you know, kind of find your community, find the people around you, you know, to play music with and play shows with and whatever. You know, for us, like a spot that's been really formative for most people in Cincinnati, there's like three kind of main venues, or four, I guess, but a place called The Comet, which is like right up the street from us. You know, bands play, there's shows almost every day of the week, and I've probably played there like 30 times or something, you know, and played to two people and played to, you know, 100 people packed in there, you know, and then there's a spot called Northside Tavern, you know, and then a place called Motor and a spot called Woodward. And all four of those places, you know, I think every city probably has those types of places to kind of build community and just play shows with your friends, you know, and record it. And that doesn't have to be, you know, just use what you have to do it. I think it's like some people are like, oh, if I get this gear, if I get this, it's like, no, you really don't need much at all. Like if you have a computer, that's pretty much, you know, that and like an interface or something, you know, but even just there's obviously kids are so creative these days. There's so many ways. But
you just need a phone these days, right?
Get a phone, yeah. get a four track, you know, you just get a little tape recorder, anything, you know, and just show your friends your music. 'Cause I think, it's like if your friends like it, the reality is probably other people are going to like it too.
Yeah. Now it's thank you for those words. It's amazing. It's just great to hear, get that feedback for somebody that's been doing it so long. And I'd love to kind of have that question at the end of a conversation to any younger listeners or people who are just chasing a creative path that may be hesitant about it, but they know they have to do it, you know, and that's why.
Yeah,
I enjoy these conversations very much. So,
yeah, it's all about relationships. You know, it's just that's like you and I. We met a couple years back. I remember you messaged ahead of time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, can I take some photos at Homecoming Fest? And here we are a couple years later. So I appreciate you. I love those photos too. It was cool. I wish that was the band that I had, because that's the whole thing. Every time I take photos with a band,
yeah,
it's never that band playing with me.
Well, thank you so much, Kurt, for your time. And I have 30 seconds left. A quick programming note. Breaking the Algorithm IRL is happening October 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Avalon upstairs with Mike Amari in conversation with Matthew O'Neill and DJ set by Yeshi. So any local listeners, please check it out. And once again, Kurt, thank you so much.